We are in the last week. We're wrapping up our series called Out of My Mind, where we've been talking about what does it mean to think like Christ. And every week we've had this series, and every time I hear the title, Out of My Mind, I think of this stupid Denny's commercial. Have you seen that? Where they're like, $5.99, are you out of your mind? And it just pops in my head. So I just wanted to share that craziness with you so now it can be in your head and you can think about it. But when we use the phrase out of my mind, it's usually not a good thing. But actually, as believers and followers of Christ, we are called to be out of our minds, to not think with our own minds, but to have the mind of Christ. And this whole series has been centered on a verse from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where Paul instructs us to have the mind of Christ inside of us. Because as Kevin Sprinkle so eloquently put the very first week, it's important because what you think about, he said, your thinks impact your do's. Right? Our thinking, what we think about impacts how we live out our lives. And so we want to live Christ-like lives, and that starts with having the mind of Christ in us. And so that first week, Kevin Sprinkle came, did an excellent job in challenging us and how we think about people, that all people, regardless of what your past is like, what your skin color is, what neighborhood you're from, what socioeconomic status, all people matter to God. And if all people matter, that means that you matter and that I matter. All people matter to God. Then the second week, Chris challenged to change how we think about places. That as a church, we are called to go. We don't operate on a come and see model, but we go. We meet people where they are. The places. We take the church to the places that need it. And that's, he talked about this vision that we have this fall to launch a campus on the north side of Kokomo. And that drives all of that, this vision to meet people where they are and help them take their next step with Christ. And then last week, Kevin did a great job talking about how we think about our stuff. That maybe this stuff that we have isn't just for us and our pleasure and our benefit, but that God blesses it with that so that we can use it to impact and bless other people and help share his love. So this week, we are wrapping up and talking about how we think about our purpose. And this is really kind of foundational to all the other things, because how you view your purpose impacts then how you view other people and how you view places and your things and all of that. Your purpose. And I want to ask this question to kind of get us focused in on purpose. I want to ask a simple question. How do you want your life to go? How do you want your life to go? For me, I answer that this way. That's how I want my life to go. And I imagine a lot of us are the same. I want next year to be better than this year. I want next year to earn more money. Next year, I want to be healthier. Next year, I want to have more joy and happiness in my life. Next year, I want to have better experiences. I want my life to be on this trajectory up and to the right, where every year is better than the previous year. That's how I want my life to go, and that makes Brent happy. This is me right here. You can tell because he's skinny. Right? And I imagine you're kind of the same way. And so if I'm honest, I can say my purpose in life is all these great things. But honestly, my time and energy and resources, the focus of my mind, the purpose of my life is how to make this happen. How to keep this trajectory going. How to make sure things are good and keep getting better. That's my purpose of my life. And you know what? It's perfectly natural. That is a perfectly natural mindset, right? Doesn't it make sense to want to be better than last year was? Doesn't it make sense to want to earn more money? Doesn't it make sense to want to have more influence in your job? Doesn't this is a perfectly natural mindset. The challenge is, as followers of Christ, we're not called to have a perfectly natural mindset. We're called to have the mind of Christ. That's what this whole series has been about. And so the question is, well, what is the mind of Christ? And as we begin to understand that, I think that will help shed light on the purposes of life that God has called us to live, as if you are a follower of Christ. So this whole series has been centered around this verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, the interesting thing, the last few weeks, we've kind of pulled that verse out, and we've talked about it and centered the series around it and talked in specifics about people and places and things. But Paul actually defines what the mind of Christ is in that context, in the verses before and after that verse in Philippians 2, verse 5. And so I want to read through that because I think Paul defines and we can learn what is the mind of Christ. So he starts out, Philippians 2, verse 3, he says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." Setting the stage with those challenging instructions. And then he writes the verse that we've been talking about, "Have in you the same minds in Christ Jesus." And then he follows it up with this description of what that mindset was. "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took a humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." That's the mind of Christ. So Paul's saying that this is the mind of Christ. This passage of scripture in verses 6 to 8 here is scholars call it the kenosis passage. Kenosis is a Greek word meaning to empty. And that phrase where it said that Jesus gave up his divine privileges, that "gave up" in the original Greek is this idea of emptying himself, laying these things down. And so what Paul's getting out here is that Jesus existed eternal in eternity past. He's in heaven with God the Father. Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, and he's receiving all the glory and the honor and praise 24/7, angels worshiping him and giving him the praise that he deserves. He's in this position of power and comfort and influence, getting the glory that he deserves, but Jesus doesn't stay there. His love for us motivates him, and he leaves that. He lowers himself, he empties himself, and comes to the earth in human form. But not just any human, he comes as a helpless infant, dependent upon his creation to take care of him. And then he lives a life of utter servitude and serving and putting others' needs first and helping others and healing others. And then he is accused of crimes that he didn't commit, and he dies a criminal's death that he did not deserve. And at any moment while he was on the cross, Jesus could have called a legion of angels to come and serve justice, to punish the people that were punishing him unjustly. But he stayed there, and he took our punishment because of his love for us. That's the mind of Christ. It's a mindset of humility, a mindset of self-sacrifice, a mindset that relinquished his rights. He had every right to stay where he was, but yet he left and he chose. He's motivated by love. A mind that put others first. A mind driven by love. That is the mind that Paul is saying should be in us. And so you're asking, what's my purpose in life? What should my life be about? I think Paul's first hint would be this, that my purpose is not about me. If we're called to have the mind of Christ, to live lives that model what Jesus did, this was the mind of Christ, a mind of humility and self-sacrifice and giving of himself to put others first. And Paul's saying that is the mind that should be in us. Your purpose is not about you. My purpose is not about me. But so many times it is about me. So many times, this is how I live my life. This is my focus. It's about my time and my comfort and my ego and my reputation and my money and my whatever, fill in the blank. And this doesn't come naturally. This is perfectly natural. Just earlier this week, we were driving back from vacation. We had a great week. We spent with our family in South Carolina. We were driving back. Long drive through the middle of Tennessee where it gets really curvy and mountainous. Kids were starting to get car sick, so we decided to pull over to the gas station, and we're just ready to be home, you know. Well, we get out, and a lady comes up to me in the gas station. She says, "Hey, do you have a tire iron? I have a flat tire, and I don't have anything to take the lug nuts off." Now, I did have a tire iron, but it was in my trunk, and on top of my trunk were four bicycles. and a week's worth of dirty clothes and all the beach toys and rafts and inflatables and the buckets of broken seashells that my kids insisted that we bring home. And all of our luggage is packed in there. And I'm thinking to myself, that's going to take forever to unload all of that stuff, to be able to open up this thing and get a tire iron that I don't even know if it's going to fit the lug nuts on her car. So I look at the lady and I say, sorry, I don't have one I can get to. And she goes, okay. And then she walks off. It was about me, my time, my comfort, my convenience. And so I go in, I fill up with gas, I go in and use the bathroom, walking out, and the Holy Spirit just like, and God's like, do you know what you're preaching on this coming weekend? Do you know what you're going to stand up in front and tell everybody to do? And I was like, oh man, I failed this one. So I went out and I went to look for the lady and I couldn't find her. My hope, my prayer is that somebody had the tire iron. She's able to change her tire and get on the road and she's fine. But I missed an opportunity to show someone else the love of Jesus. I missed an opportunity to put someone else first and say, you know what? You are important enough. God loves you enough that I'm going to take my time. I'm going to take my convenience to serve you, to help you, to show you the love of God. That's what the mind of Christ is about. But so often it's about me. So often it's about me. And I have to remind myself, nope, my purpose is not about me. My purpose is not about me. But the challenge is the mind of Christ doesn't always make sense. And part of the struggle is we feel like we lose. When we live this out, like, I mean, cross equals death, right? We lose something when we try to live out this mind of Christ. And so it keeps us. We say, no, well, if I'm not looking out for myself, then who's going to look out for me? I was talking to my friend a few weeks ago who's in the middle of a divorce, and the divorce has turned ugly, and they're fighting over custody of the kids, and it's just this constant fight back and forth and back and forth. And I was challenging my friend to kind of think, like, you know, hey, listen, you know, you and your ex-wife, you are going to be mom and dad forever to these kids, and you have to be a team to raise these kids. You have years ahead. And if you don't learn how to get along and communicate and talk, it's not going to be pretty. And my friend said, I understand. I know what you're saying. But I can't let her walk all over me. I have to stand up for my rights. I have to fight for my right as a father. And you know what? He will. And it's going to be a fight. It will always be a fight. And that's the mindset. If I don't look out for myself, if I don't stand up for myself, then who's going to look out for me? And we feel like when we live this mind of Christ, we lose something. But here's the truth. This is what makes humility possible. This right here makes all of this possible, this incredible truth right here. I already have everything I need in Jesus. If you are a follower of Christ, then you have everything you need in Jesus. Paul, as he wraps up this letter to the Philippians, he has some closing remarks. And one of his closing remarks, he says this. He says, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. The same God who I've seen him show up in my life, and I know he's going to supply all your needs from the glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. I have all I need in Jesus. And I know you're saying, okay, that's really cool. That sounds, you know, like very pious religious talk. And Paul can say that, but you don't know my situation. You don't know the job I'm in. You don't know the family that I face. You don't know the needs that I have. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote this? He's in prison. And prison then was a little bit different than prison now. Prison then, he was utterly dependent. They didn't provide meals or things like that. Paul was utterly dependent on outside help to bring food in if he wanted to eat. If he needed new clothes, he was dependent on outside help to bring those new clothes in so that he could have. So every bit of his existence, he was depending upon somebody else to provide. And it's in that setting, in jail, he writes this letter to the Philippians. And he says, you know what? I have seen God provide all of my needs in this tough situation. And I have confidence that he will supply all your needs because he is a God with unlimited, glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. This is the truth. If you don't get anything, I want you to get this truth this morning. If you are in Christ, you are connected to an infinite source of love. If you are in Jesus, you are connected to an infinite source of peace and hope and joy. You are unconditionally loved. You are eternally secure. You are infinitely accepted. You're connected to this infinite source. And so here's a math, a little math lesson for you. My brain was a little fuzzy. I was thinking back to high school math, and I thought this was true, but I wasn't sure. So I called up my friend Ben Diener, who's a teacher, math teacher at Kokomo High School, and he said, yep, this is true. Math lesson. Infinity minus one equals infinity. Infinity minus 10 equals infinity. Infinity minus 10,000 equals infinity. So get this, when you are connected to Jesus, you are connected to an infinite source of love and hope and peace and joy. And so we can give of ourselves and we lose nothing. Because infinity minus whatever you choose to give is still infinity. That is what makes this possible. That Jesus' unlimited riches for those of us who have placed our faith in him means that we can give of ourselves. We can give our time and our money and our comfort and our reputation and whatever. We can lay it down for others and we lose nothing because I already have everything I need in Jesus. That is the revolutionary truth that makes this mind of Christ possible. And so with that truth, then I can give myself to others because Jesus gave all of himself for me so that I can give myself to others. Jesus gave all of himself to me so that I can give myself to others. And I'm not losing anything because Jesus gave everything to me. And we live in such a polarized world right now. And it's this natural mindset. It's understandable that when we live in a world where it's like, all right, I feel things are being attacked, or this thing that I believe in is at risk, or this viewpoint that I have, people are fighting against it. So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to fight for my rights. I'm going to take a stand. Now's the time to take a stand and let the world know what's right. I think that Jesus is calling us instead to take a knee and to consider others more important than ourselves, and to serve in humility. And that means that consider others better than yourselves. That's not just the people that look like you and believe like you and have the same political party affiliation as you. That means the people that think the opposite of you. That you're like, oh, you're crazy. I can't believe you think that. I can't believe you vote that way. I can't believe you did that. Those are the people that we're supposed to lift up and say, you know, I consider you better than myself, and I'm serving you in humility. And perhaps just if we begin to take a knee and serve and show the world the love of Jesus, the love that loves enemies, the love that turns our other cheek, the love that gives of ourselves, then perhaps that will change the world. I think that's what we need now more than ever. Some of you are still doubting. I see it. Like, okay, that's great. That's, you know, this is church and you're supposed to say those things. But you don't know the real world I live in. If I don't look out for myself, then who's going to look out for me? I just can't let people walk all over me. Like that doesn't get results. Well, let's talk results. Let's do a little case study, shall we? It's the first century AD. The Roman Empire controls the majority of the known world. They're the most powerful force in the world at that time. The world's most powerful military. They've conquered most of the known world and they rule it with an iron fist. Military might wins the day. There's no empire in that day. The Roman Empire is unrivaled in first century AD. In a small corner of the vast Roman Empire, in a conquered territory called Judea, an unknown rabbi begins teaching and gets a group of followers and starts creating a little bit of a stir in the local population. So the Roman Empire does what the Roman Empire does best. They like to keep the peace at all costs. And so they step in and they kill that rabbi, no problem. A little stir ends. The Roman Empire continues. Might and military force win the day. Hardly even a blip on the radar of the vast Roman Empire. Now fast forward 2,000 years. That unknown rabbi, now his followers number 2.3 billion. And Jesus' name is worshiped in every single country across the globe. Christianity has done more to influence global culture than hardly anything else. It's impacted law and education and healthcare and charity. It's shaped the world. And the church of Jesus is alive and active on the global scene. And the Roman Empire? People take vacations to see its ruins. So you tell me that this doesn't work. You tell me that this does not produce results. I'm standing here today. My life changed because of this. And many of you in these seats are too. The mind of Christ has a global impact. And so what's the result of that? Paul continues on in the verse, in this kenosis passage, as he talks about Jesus became obedient to death on the cross. And then he kind of shifts the trajectory and he says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So now Jesus is Lord. That's supposed to be a crown. I'm not a very good artist. This is what the mind of Christ produces. Yes, we're called to empty ourselves. Yes, we're called to put others first. Yes, we're called to step aside. But then Jesus is glorified. And he receives the honor and the glory and the praise. So you have two options. You can do what comes natural to you. And you can live the life with a purpose focused on yourself. And it's a struggle, and I fall into this mindset so often, because this, when the purposes of my life is this, it feels good, right? Because I'm the center point, I'm the focal point, the world revolves around me. But the problem is, when I live my life this way, when I'm the focal point, when the world revolves around me, then it's up to me to produce the results. It's up to me to hold everything together. It's up to me to make things happen. And I'm not that good. And sooner or later, I'm going to fail, and then my trajectory changes. And when that happens, it's no longer happy Brent. It's angry Brent. Right? Because when it's all up to me and all the results are up to me and I have to hold everything together, the fruit of that, the outcome of that, is stress and worry and anxiety and anger, because for some reason people don't always do what I think they should do, and they don't always treat me the way that I think I should be treated, and they don't always give me the honor and respect that I think I deserve. And so the result then is anger. And I don't know about you, but for me, if I have an honest look back at my life and I look back at some of the conflicts in my life with my spouse or with my kids or with my family and my friends, I look back and I realize the majority of that conflict isn't really about them. It's about me. It's about my unmet expectations and my hurt feelings and the lack of respect they gave me. Just a few years ago, when my oldest son was two, I ventured out into the world with him, and we went to Meijer. We had to really quick run an errand for something. I don't remember what it was, but I remembered we were in a hurry, and when you're in a hurry with a two-year-old, that always sets up a recipe for great results, right? So we walk into Meijer in a hurry, we're moving along, and of course, Ethan sees something that he wants, and he's 2 years old, and so he's like, I want that. I said, no, you can't have that. And so he said, okay, Father, you know best. No, he didn't do that at all, right? He throws a tantrum. He's like, no, I want that. And I try to reason with him. You can't reason with a two-year-old. And so he does what two-year-olds do best that wins any argument. I'm holding his hand, and he just goes limp, right? And he's laying in the middle of the main aisleway in Meijer, whining that he wants this thing, and he's just limp on the ground. And I can't reason with him. I can't convince him to do anything. So I'm just like, what do I do? And so in anger, I just grab his hand, and I just take off walking, and I'm dragging him behind me. And of course, as I'm doing that, I yank too hard on his arm. It hurts his arm. He starts crying, makes even a bigger scene. And I get even more frustrated and angry. And as I look back on that situation, I realize, what was I really mad about? Honestly, it had very little to do with my son's disobedience. I mean, he was two, all right? Like, two-year-olds don't understand those things. Like, all he knows is he wants that, and he didn't get it, so he's going to throw a temper tantrum. That's what two-year-olds do. What was my anger? My anger was actually about my ego and my reputation, because I was feeling judged by all the other people walking through Meijer, looking at me like, oh, he can't control his kid. Oh, he's a horrible dad. And I felt all of that judgment and that pressure in my ego, and then I just responded in anger. And so when this is the purpose of my life, the results often are worry and anxiety and anger and stress, because I have to hold everything together. But if I choose this path, if I choose this purpose, if I choose the mind of Christ, I step aside, I choose to give of myself, I choose to put others first so that I'm out of the way and Jesus is in focus. And yeah, it may cost a little bit in that moment. I remind myself, nope, I have everything I need in Jesus. And in the end result, is this, that Jesus is glorifying. But Jesus is then also on the hook to hold everything together. He's the one that's then responsible to hold the world together, to make things happen, to provide the needs that he said he was going to provide for, to change the hearts of people that he said he was going to change. And you know what? He does that a lot better than I do. And suddenly, my burden is released. Suddenly, I don't have the stress and anxiety of trying to hold everything together. I don't have the stress and anxiety of trying to perform and get these outcomes to happen. I don't have the stress and anxiety of trying to manipulate and make other people do what I want them to do. I can just let go and say, okay, God, it's yours. It's up to you. And I'm just going to choose to serve them, to think of them as better than myself, and then I'll let you handle everything else. Oh, the weight off your shoulders. And suddenly, This is good. And then Jesus receives the glory and the honor and the praise that he should. It's your choice. So my purpose isn't about me. And then when you choose to step aside and let Jesus shine, then you get to see him move firsthand. And that's an awe-inspiring and humbling experience to know that God used you to impact the world, to impact somebody else's life. Heard a couple of stories recently. This week on Friday, we had a crew of volunteers here from Crossroads that went out to Oak Brook to pick sweet corn that they are going to give away. They gave away yesterday during our servant ministry day to under-resourced families. So we had 7 volunteers come out, and they picked over 100 dozen ears of corn. And the time slot that they were given to pick was in the afternoon, right when all the storms were supposed to blow through on Friday. And they were worried that they weren't going to be able to get everything picked in time. And so they show up anyway, and they go out and they start picking, and the clouds clear, the storm blows over, the sun shines down, and they pick, they start sweating, and they get all the ears picked. And they were telling me last night, somebody that was one of the volunteers that helped do that, they said, as soon as we were finishing up the last row, started clouding up, we load up the corn and we get in our cars and close the door, it starts raining. And she said, you know what, it was so cool to see God open just a little window to give us what we needed to be able to pick the corn that we needed. And then that worked out, and then we went on. And we were able to bless blessed dozens of families with that sweet corn this Saturday. I was talking to somebody else that had helped partner with the Kokomo Rescue Mission to give away their back-to-school giveaway. So I don't know if you know this or not, but as a church, we gave $6,000 in brand-new shoes to the Kokomo Rescue Mission to give away to kids as they head back to school. And we had a team of volunteers that went to do that. And they said, you know what the most powerful moment was for them when they slipped a pair of new shoes on a kid who had never worn brand-new shoes in their life. Never had brand new shoes, and to see the joy and the smile and the right when you step aside, God shows up and you see him work. Or what about all the camp counselors, you guys that stood up, some of you that gave your own personal vacation time to spend with sweaty middle schoolers and snobby high schoolers. Sorry, high schoolers, it's true. I know. Right? They gave of themselves. But you know what? The 13 students that accepted Christ for the very first time, wow. To know that they had a hand to play, that God used them to lead people into his presence so the eternities are changed. Man, when you choose to give of yourself, step out of the way, you see God show up and do big things. And that's one of the reasons I love this church, because there are countless volunteers. You guys are great at giving of yourself, giving your time, giving your money, using your talents to serve Jesus, to step out of the way and say, okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but here you go. And then God shows up and impacts our community through Crossroads. And it's so cool. It happens time and time again. So when you're talking about your purpose, this is the truth. My purpose, it's not about me. My purpose is Jesus' purpose. If you're a follower of Christ, my purpose is not about me, it's Jesus' purpose. Well, what's Jesus' purpose? And Chris talked about this 2 weeks ago when he was talking about the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He said, the Son of Man came. This is why. Why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus leave heaven and come to earth? Why did he humble himself and empty himself and live the life that he did? Why? To seek and save those who are lost. He's motivated by love because he wanted all of us to be connected with him for eternity. So my purpose is Jesus' purpose, and Jesus' purpose is to seek and save those who are lost. Another math lesson, that's a transitive property. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So our purpose, my purpose, is to seek and save those who are lost, to point people to Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And I'm going to do everything I can to leverage my power, my position, my influence, my talents, for purposes that point people to Jesus. I came across a quote from Pablo Picasso, the abstract artist, and he said, he was talking about the meaning of life and purpose of life, and he said, the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of life is to give it away. I thought, that's pretty good. But I think Pablo fell a little short. The meaning of life is to find your gift. Well, you know what? Every gift has a giver, doesn't it? And so maybe a more important meaning of life would be to find the giver. And then instead of giving their gift away, what if you do what Jesus did? You give your whole self away. So the meaning of life is to find the giver and then to give yourself. The purpose of life is to give yourself away. And so in closing, I just want to ask this question. How are you giving yourself away? How are you living out this purpose? Living out the mind of Christ, what are you doing to give yourself away? What are some simple, practical ways that you can do every single day to remind yourself, it's not about me? What is something that you can do that you get no recognition for, that no one's going to pay you back, no one's going to pat you on the back and say, hey, great job, just things that you can just utterly give of yourself for no recognition? What are some of those things that you can do? Who's someone that you can serve that can't pay you back? What are ways that you can be generous with your time and your money and your reputation? You see, working with people, I've realized that all of us can be generous with certain things that aren't that important to us, but all of us have this thing that is like almost sacred to us that we hold on to with white knuckles. And so for some of us, it may be your money. Right? And you're like, hey, I'll show up and I'll serve and I'll give my time, but if you ask me to give a dollar, no way. For others of us, we're super generous with our money, but it's our time, right? And you're like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to show up and do that, but here, I'll give some money towards that, right? So there's always something about us that we hold on to. Or maybe for some of us, it's your reputation, right? You're generous with your time and your money, but every single decision you make is a calculated decision about who's going to be around, who's going to see me, what do I get the most bang for my buck? And so I'm making the decisions about my reputation and my ego, and you're stingy in with that. What are ways that you can begin to be generous with that thing that you're holding back so that you can truly give all of yourself to Jesus? And where is a place that you can serve? And so you have to answer that question for you personally as you go throughout your day, throughout your weeks. I'm going to pray that God brings up an opportunity this week that you can give of yourself. You can live out the mind of Christ. But then as a church, as a corporate body, we are on a mission together, and you have an opportunity to live out those and apply that together in the context of Crossroads. And so we've been talking a lot about this North Kokomo campus that we're launching in the fall. We're starting a new campus. And with that comes lots of needs. You know, this is something that we feel led to do, to reach people, to meet people where they are, to help them take their next step with Christ. And it's going to cost us more than we have. It's going to require more people that are serving than are now. And in all on paper, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And if you're just looking at the numbers and doing what makes sense, we say, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go there. That's the return on that investment. No, it's not going to work. But we're not talking dollars and cents. We're talking eternity. And we realize we already have everything we need in Jesus. And so we're taking that lead. And we would love to have some of you join us in that, both serving there and we have needs here. Because there are some people that are regularly serving here that feel called to go there to help launch that campus, and then their serving spot here is opened up. So we need people up on the worship team singing and playing their instruments, leading us in worship. We need people up in that crow's nest clicking slides so that I don't look like an idiot when the verse doesn't pop up. I'm like, I don't know what to say now. We need people that helps focus us in. We need people running camera. We need people at the doors greeting people with a smile so they feel welcomed when they come in. We need people in the children's wing caring for and teaching those foundational biblical truths to the little kids. There's lots of opportunities to serve. And sometimes if you're newer here to Crossroads, you see like, oh, it's a big church. They have everything under control. But you know what? There's always opportunities. And there's always a need. And there's going to be even more need as we move to the North Kokomo campus. But it's worth it. It's worth it because we want to impact our community and we want to reach people that don't know Jesus. We want to meet them where they are. Introduce them. Serve them. They are better than us. Put their needs first. Give of ourselves. So how are you giving yourself away for the glory of Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And God, I said it in this message, but I confess I fall short so many times because I become the thing I worship. So I ask for your forgiveness. And God, for all of us that have that same issue, that same problem, I ask for your forgiveness. And your mercy and your grace are unlimited. But God, I don't want to stop there. I ask you to transform us. Holy Spirit, shape us into the people you've created us to be so that we can give of ourselves, so that we can put others first, so that we can, in a life of humility, show them your love, to show them you, so they might come to know you. Because Jesus, we declare that you and you alone are worthy. You and you alone. So it's for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.